Let's go to the Lord and ask for his help as we look at his word. Our Father, we are grateful to you for your word, and that is true, and we pray that you would speak to us right now through it. Give us grace to understand, to believe it, to live it out. I pray that you would just help us right now, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen. So on Thursday, you're going to get together with your family. You're going to have some turkey. You're going to have some cranberry sauce. It's going to be real nice. There's a moment around the Thanksgiving table, typically in a family, right, where you go around and you say what you're thankful for. What if this year, when you sat there around your table, the host or hostess said, this year, we're going to, each one of us will tell the top three things that happened this year that you're really ticked off about. What if you went around the table that way and the host or hostess said, can you think of anything that you just is not fair in your life that you can just share with everybody that it's not fair? Or can you think of something that you just don't understand why this is happening and it's not right? And can you share with the family what's going on there? Would you be able to think of anything? Is there anyone here who would be able to think of something that they didn't like this year? Can I get a witness on that? I bet you could, because we have a lot to complain about, people. There's a lot that's not going right. There's a lot that's not fair in the world. There's a lot that we don't understand. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is complaining. And I want to help you as a church. I want to help us to be better complainers. Now, you think this is Thanksgiving week, and so you're thinking, I know what Pastor Nathan's going to say. The message is going to be about how we should quit our whining, how we should stop complaining, and how we should just give thanks. Well, I'm here to tell you today that's not my message. I'm going to teach you how to be better complainers. We need to complain better. I'm not just going to say quit your whining. I'm going to say complain, but complain better, okay? And the text that we're going to look at to learn how to complain better is Habakkuk 1, verse 12 through Habakkuk 2, verse 1. So it's the second half of the first chapter of Habakkuk, and we're going to jump over to the first verse of the second chapter. This is a continuation of the series that we started last week in Habakkuk. And as you recall, last week in Habakkuk, Habakkuk complained to God. He said, you know, it's not going well in my country right now. And as I mentioned to you, the situation in Israel in about the year 600 BC was pretty awful. King Jehoiakim was on the throne. That wasn't really his name. It was a name that the Egyptians gave him because the Egyptians had the king in their pocket. He owed more loyalty to the evil Egyptians than he did to the God of Israel, and he owed them more money. And to pay them money, he had to raise the taxes of Israel, of Judah, the nation of Judah, exorbitantly. So the people in Judah had to pay these terribly high taxes. So the king sent part of that money to Egypt, and he also lived this lavish lifestyle, did a lot of renovations on the palace, ate a lot of great food, and just lived it up. He drove five or six Porsches, and he was all Armani all the time. And while the people in Israel were suffering and the king wasn't enforcing the law of God, he didn't care anything for the law of God. He didn't care about the worship of God. He didn't care about how the people weren't following God's ways and they were mistreating each other and the rich were taking advantage of the poor and the poor would try to go to court to get that solved and nothing would happen. The rich would just get richer and the poor would just get poorer. The righteous poor, the poor who were trusting in God, were getting beat down, and the wicked rich, who didn't care anything about God, their life just kept getting better and better and better, and so Habakkuk was complaining to God about it. And as we heard last week, God said, okay, I'll do something about it. I'll raise up an enemy nation. And here it says the Chaldeans, and that's the word that the people of Judah used for the Babylonians. God said, I'm going to raise up the Babylonians, a wicked nation, and I'm going to send them in, and they're just going to wipe you guys out. That was God's answer to Habakkuk's complaint. Habakkuk says, God, there's no justice. God says, okay, I'll just send a nation in to punish you guys. And that's where we left off last week. And so let me read the next section. This is how Habakkuk responds to God when he heard that. And it's another song that he sings. As you notice, it's poetry, or you know, it's a hymn of complaint to God, a hymn of lament, of complaint. And after I read this, we'll see three things. I want us to look at three lessons about how to complain, how to be better complainers. Okay, so here we go. Habakkuk 1, starting in verse 12. Are you not from eternity, Lord my God? This is the prophet addressing God on behalf of the righteous people in Judah. Are you not from eternity, Lord my God? My Holy One, you will not die. Lord, you appointed them, and he's talking about the evil Chaldeans, you appointed them to execute judgment. My rock, you destined them to punish us. Your eyes are too pure to look on evil, and you cannot tolerate wrongdoing. So why do you tolerate those who are treacherous? Why are you silent when one who is wicked swallows up one who is more righteous than himself? You have made mankind like the fish of the sea, like marine creatures that have no ruler. The Chaldeans pull them all up with a hook, catch them in their dragnet, and gather them in their fishing net. That is why they are glad and rejoice. That is why they sacrifice to their dragnet and burn incense to their fishing net. For by these things their portion is rich and their food is plentiful. Will they therefore empty their net and continually slaughter nations without mercy? Okay, and that's the end of Habakkuk's complaint song to God. And now there's this little, now Habakkuk looks into the camera and addresses the camera, if this were a movie. Now we get to hear Habakkuk's own thoughts about what he said to God. So this is, listen to chapter 2, verse 1. Here's what Habakkuk says to himself. I will stand guard at my guard post and station myself on the lookout tower. I will watch to see what he will say to me and what I should reply about my complaint. He says, I'm going to wait and see what God says now. And then after he says what he says, I'm going to see what should I say back to him then. Okay, this is God's word. Three lessons about how to be better complainers. The first lesson that we see from Habakkuk about being a better complainer is that you should complain to God. You should complain to God. Okay, look at verse 12, if you would, please. Look at how Habakkuk addresses God. Because Habakkuk is complaining, and who is he complaining to? This is a prayer. He's talking to God with his complaint. And so he talks to God, and he says first of all, that God is the Lord, my God. And you know the word Lord is the Hebrew word Yahweh. It's God's covenant name. It's the name of God that shows that he is the I Am. He is the one who is from eternity and has chosen his people and who will keep his promises to his people. And so Habakkuk is reminding God of who he is. And he's saying to God, you are the Lord. You are Yahweh. You are the covenant God. You're the God who's made promises to your people and who keeps promises to his people. So remember us. Remember your promises. And he also calls God my Holy One. Holy One. So he's saying, he's reminding God, he knows something about God, and he's reminding God about himself. He's saying, God, remember what you're like. You're holy. You're good. You don't put up with nonsense. You don't put up with evil. You don't put up with wickedness and with people mistreating each other. So he's reminding God that he's holy, and he's saying, look, this is why I can talk to you about this stuff. Because there's evil going on in the world, and you're holy. Are you going to put up with this evil? You've raised up wicked people to come and punish us. Are you going to put up with that? They're worse than us. You know, I was talking to you about how bad it was in my country. You're raising up people who are even worse than us to come and punish us. Are you going to put up with that kind of wickedness? You're holy, God. And when he says he's holy, he also is recognizing that God is good. You know, like, aren't you going to do what's right here? Aren't you going to be good to your people? He also calls God his rock. You see that in verse 12? He says, my rock. When he says that he's his rock, he's saying, you're my refuge. You're my fortress. You're the place that I can go and hide from the storm, like a cave in the side of a cliff. I can go hide in you. You are steady and secure and strong, and I can take refuge in you and know that you are going to protect me from evil. God, you're my rock. And then I want to notice this little word in this verse 12. It occurs more than once. Let me see. Two times, I think. It's a very short word. In Hebrew, it's just a particle that attaches onto the end of a word. But in English, it's two little letters, M-Y, my. He's saying, God, you are my God. You're not just an abstract God. You're not just a force out there. You are my God. He's claiming God as his own. He's saying, you are my God. We have a personal relationship here. And he's appealing to God on the basis of this personal relationship. And he's saying, God, since you belong to me and I belong to you, will you do what's right? Will you protect me? Will you put down evil? I mean, you're raising up these evil people to take over my country. Won't you do something about it? Won't you keep them from destroying us and overwhelming us? You're my God. You belong to me. We belong to you. Protect your people. We belong to each other. So Habakkuk directs his complaint to God. And he talks about God. He knows what God is like. He knows about how God has acted throughout history with the nation of Israel. And so that's how he talks to God. And I want to also look at how Jesus complains to God. And if you would maybe keep a finger or a bookmark in Habakkuk, let me show you a couple of Jesus's prayers from the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus also complains. He also directs his prayers to God. In the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, it says, the way that Jesus teaches his disciples to pray is, our Father who art in heaven. That's Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Our Father. So, you know, Habakkuk is called God, Lord, Holy One, Rock, my Rock. Jesus knows God even better than Habakkuk does and says that God is our Father. And that's how that's the God that you can direct your complaints to and your questions to. It's the God who's your Father, the God who loves you, the God who made you and cares for you like a father cares for children. And then if you look at Matthew chapter 26, verse 39, this is Jesus in the garden before he goes to the cross and he's praying. And when Jesus prays to God, this is pretty much a complaint too. And he says, Matthew 26:39, he says, my Father, he uses that my word again, because Jesus has a close personal relationship with the Father, and he says, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. Not my will, but thine be done, right? So Jesus calls God my Father. And when he's in his worst point, right before he's going to be arrested and betrayed, arrested, tried, executed, beaten, you know, abandoned. Right before he goes through all this, he's complaining to God. He knows what's coming. He's complaining to God, but he's addressing God as my Father. He knows that he can bring his request to God and complain. He can be real with God. And the lesson that we need to learn is that when we have something to complain about, who should we complain to? We can complain to God. And I want to just encourage you, in your prayer life, don't just say, God, will you please give me some food? God, will you please meet this need? Also direct your complaints to him. Tell him what's wrong. Tell him what's not going right and what's not fair and what you don't understand. And cry out to God. God is the one that can hear that, and God is the one that can handle it. There are a lot of ways that we usually handle our complaints. I think it's typical for people to stuff their complaints, to pretend like nothing's wrong and not say anything about it and just sort of bottle it up inside them, and that's one way. And a lot of times when that happens, what happens after a while? You know, the pressure builds, and at some point there's an explosion, right? This is another option. Instead of bottling up your complaints, you can pray your complaints. You can tell God all about the things that are wrong. There's another way that people deal with their complaints and the wrong things that they have going through their lives. They vent. They say, I've got to let all this out. And so they complain to everybody and anybody who will listen, or sometimes people who don't want to listen. And they tell all their complaints to everybody, and sometimes they're gossiping about people and complaining about other people to whoever will listen. And I'm not saying that it's wrong to tell people about the wrong things that are going on in your life. I think it's good to have friends and share what's going on. But don't you think it's better to not leave God out of it? Because sometimes we're complaining to everybody, but we don't tell God. And God is the one who can actually do something about it. So we need to tell our complaints to God and let him hear, because God can answer. God can hear our prayers and do something about it. It's more productive to complain to God. I mean, it's in one way it's therapeutic for us to get it off our chest in a way that's not going to hurt other people. But in another way, it's, you know, God actually can hear our prayers and intervene on our behalf, because he loves us and he has all the power and all the knowledge, and he can actually do something. So when you lift your prayer up to God, he'll actually do something. We should not leave God out of our emotional life. You know, I know a lot of us have learned this lesson when it comes to time, because, you know, it's possible to get so busy with your life. You're doing so many things, and you look back over the past year and you say, oh, wow, I didn't have any time for God there. I was busy doing this, that, and the other thing, and I didn't have time for God. And a lot of us have seen that in our lives and made some adjustments, and we'd said, okay, the first thing on my calendar is going to be prayer. The first thing on my calendar is going to be worship and time in the Word. It'll be the first thing in my week that I'll write on my calendar. And the first thing in my day, I'll write time with prayer, time with God. We've learned that when it comes to time. Some of us have learned that lesson when it comes to money. You know, like, it's possible to get so tight with your money, or, you know, it's a limited resource, and it's possible to, like, get to the end of the month and look over your spending and not have any left and realize, and I didn't give anything to the Lord. And so we learn to deal with that by giving to God first, right? Give to God first, and somehow he manages to make the rest of our money stretch and cover everything else that we need, right? Somehow he's able to do that. I don't know how. It's miraculous, but he's able to do it. We also need to learn this lesson in our emotional life. Give God your complaints first of all. You know, address the things that are wrong in your life to God first in prayer. And then he'll let us know how we should deal with our emotions with other people. We get things flip-flopped a lot of times. We vent to everybody else but to God. But if we vent to God first, He'll show us how we should talk to other people about the things that are going wrong in our lives. Okay, so that's the first lesson, is to complain to God. Who should you complain to, my friends? God. Complain to God. Can he handle it? Amen, he can handle it. Don't you think he's strong enough to handle what's going on in your life? He can handle it. Tell him. The other thing, the next lesson is, when you complain to God, you should tell it like it is. You should keep it real. That's lesson two. Keep it real when you complain to God. Listen to how Habakkuk prays. I've got to get back to Habakkuk. I'm still in Matthew. Okay, look at verse 13. He's talking about God, and he's saying, hey, God, it is not fair that these wicked people are coming to destroy us, people who are more wicked than us. He's like, I understand you got to punish us. Judah has been wrong. Judah has been evil and wicked. But the people you're using to execute your judgment on us are even worse than us. It's not fair. It's not right. So he's keeping it real. He's saying it just how it is. And he knows that God is the one who raised up the Babylonians to punish Judah. And he's telling him, God, what you're doing isn't fair. He's telling it like it is. He's telling it the way he sees it. Now, obviously, God knows more than he does. But he's saying, from his perspective, this is how I see it. And God, you are fair, and this doesn't seem fair. So what's going on here? He directs his questions and his complaints to God. He's saying, the cure here is worse than the disease. Like, have you ever, like, had a cold, and you go to the doctor, and the doctor gives you antibiotics, and it makes your tummy, like, so upset that it's even worse than the cold that you had to start with? Am I the only one? I mean, and this is like that, but times a gazillion. That, you know, God, it's not fair that the people in our nation that don't respect you are taking advantage of the people that who do respect you. And God says, I'll bring the Babylonians in to wipe everybody out. And he's like, hey, the cure is worse than the disease. And he's complaining to God. And he says to God, this isn't fair. And he says to God, this isn't good. The Babylonians, they don't have respect for human life. To them, people are just like fish. And they see the nations like a fisherman sees the fish in the ocean. Just people that I can rip out of the ocean and use to make myself rich and to meet my own needs. He's saying the Babylonians are going to come in here with their nets and fish us out. And they have no respect for the humanity of life. They have no respect for the dignity of people. And they will slaughter the innocent, and it's not going to be good. It's not going to be fair. And he's just complaining to God about it. And he's also saying to God, this should be offensive to you. The Babylonians don't worship you. You see how he says in verse 16, they sacrifice to their nets. They burn incense to their nets. This is a metaphor. He's saying they worship their own strength. They don't worship the one true God. They don't acknowledge that their strength really comes from God. They worship their own strength. So they don't give any glory to you. This should make you mad, God. Habakkuk is saying to God, this should bother you. And so when Habakkuk complains to God, he keeps it real. And, you know, Jesus, he also complained to God, and he also kept it real. He told it like it is. When Jesus was on the cross, he cried out to God, and he quoted a psalm. He quoted Psalm 22, and he said to God, my God, why have you forsaken me? He kept it real, you know. He said, why are you turning away from me while I'm at my worst moment? Why are you doing this? And he's complaining, and he's keeping it real. He's saying, I don't like this. And even in that moment, in some ways, I don't understand. Now, did Jesus understand? Of course he understood. But the emotion of it, like I understand, but I don't understand. You know, and he's complaining to God. And you and I can take a lesson from Habakkuk in this. And when we lift up our hearts to God in prayer, we can keep it real. We can really complain. We can tell him like it is. I want you to feel free to tell God what you really feel. I don't want you to pretend that what is evil is really good. You know, sometimes we Christians, we can kind of put on this veneer of gratitude and pretend that what is evil is really good and say, oh, I lost my job, but that's really wonderful. Oh, I don't have any money to pay my bills, but it's really wonderful. Oh, I'm really sick, but isn't that a good thing? Well, those aren't good things. Those are bad things. And we need to not pretend like they're good things. Now, it's true that we can still be grateful to God and that God can still use bad things for good, right? He can still weave the evil into the world, into his plan, somehow and miraculously make good come out of it. But God doesn't think those are good things. God thinks those are bad things. And so we shouldn't pretend that they're good things, right? And the ultimate bad thing is death. We should not pretend that death is good. The Bible calls death an enemy. It's the enemy. And so we should, when death happens, we shouldn't pretend like it's good. It's evil. It's wrong. It's bad. Death is the enemy, and it's okay to say to God, this is wrong, and to admit to ourselves, this is wrong. This isn't part of God's plan. This isn't what he would have wanted. And we can complain to God and tell him. With people, when you talk to people about the things that are going on in your life, it's wise to have a filter. You don't tell them absolutely everything, right? And especially if they're part of the problem, you don't tell them everything because maybe they can't handle it right at that moment. But God, with God, you don't need a filter. You can tell him absolutely everything. You can keep it real and complain to him. We get that mixed up. Sometimes we have a filter in our prayer life, but we don't have a filter when we spew our guts to everybody else in our life. We need to remember, you can spew your guts to God. You can weep and moan before him, cry out to him, tell him everything. And then with other people, we can have some boundaries and have a filter as we talk to him. And then if we've already said it all to God and we've got our hearts right before him, then we have the strength when we go to other people, we can say the things that are helpful and leave out the things that would not be helpful. Okay, so the first lesson that we learned is complain to God. The second lesson that we learned is we need to keep it real. And the third lesson that we need to learn is to keep trusting God. Even when you complain to him, you can keep trusting him. Habakkuk did that. Habakkuk, when he complains to God, he's talking to God because he knows he can't do anything about it, about the problem in his life. The invading army of the Babylonians. Do you think one little prophet who probably doesn't even have a pistol permit, do you think he can do something about that? There's nothing he can do. The army is coming to invade, and he's just one guy, you know. He knows he can't do anything about it, so he's talking to God about it. He appeals to the God who can do something about it. He appeals to the God who's good, and he trusts in God and just waits to see what God will do. And at chapter 2, verse 1, he says, I'll stand at my guard post and station myself on the lookout tower. He's picturing himself like somebody in an army who is standing guard and waiting for the enemy to come. But he's saying, I'm just going to stand guard and wait for God to show up and see what God is going to do and then see how I should respond to God. And he's like, I'm going to trust that God is going to do the right thing here. I've lifted up my complaint. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to wait and see what he'll do here, and then I'll see how I should respond to him. So even as he's complaining, he's trusting in God. And you heard what he said about God at the beginning. He knows that God is his Lord, his rock, his Holy One. He's going to wait and see. And when we lift our complaints to God, we should wait and see too. Jesus did it. We already read the verse where Jesus is in the garden and he's praying. And he says, my Father, if it's possible, take this cup from me, but not my will, but thine be done. So he complains to God, and he keeps trusting him, and he keeps moving forward with God, acknowledging that God knows what he's doing, and that even though he's walking through the valley of the shadow of death, he can trust God and keep going. Jesus could do it, and we can do it too. As we complain to God, we need to hold on to our faith and hold on to our trust that God knows what he's doing and he can do the right thing. We know that we can trust in God because we've seen his love for us, especially through his son, Jesus. God used even the worst thing that could possibly happen in the world, the death of his son, to save us, to save us from our sins. God used even the death of his son for us, for our good. All things work together for good. And God raised Jesus from the dead. He's got power, amazing power. So even in our darkest moments, we shouldn't shy away from complaining to God, but we can keep on trusting him, knowing that he'll do what's right. Let's pray together. Our Father, we're grateful to you for your love and your grace, and I just want to pray for your people here today, and I pray that we could be better complainers. Help us to lift our complaints to you, to pray honestly to you, and to keep trusting you. And we thank you that you're trustworthy, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.